This is interesting. Emily Hayes is a speech pathologist, and we got her on the telephone right now. G'day, Emily.
Hi, Tony. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you. This is a fascinating thing. As the restrictions are kind of being eased down, an expert, and that's you, has encouraged South Australian families not to rush back to all aspects of life before the restrictions, and especially regarding fussy eaters. What's that all about, Emily?
Well, I think now that we've sort of been ordered by the government to spend a little bit more time at home, lots of families are just reporting how valuable that order has been for them. So instead of racing in late after netball training or whatever the family normally does, everyone is coming together to eat at the same time at the table and are present. And that is beneficial, incredibly beneficial for all children,
yeah.
But it also really helps the fussy eaters.
Emily, when you say fussy eaters, are these kids that have just got a dislike of a sprout or cabbage, or do they have other allergies that add to the eating disorders?
Look, allergies can certainly add to a fussy eater. There's all sorts of reasons why kids might be fussy, and it's actually a bigger proportion of kids than we realise. Kids, feeding is a much more challenging task than we realise it is. It's a motor task. They need to be able to chew and swallow safely, but it's also the most complex sensory task we do. And while we're all rushing around, I think sometimes we've forgotten that it's a learnt behaviour, and we don't really take the time to teach the kids the skills they need to successfully eat a good range of foods.
When you say it's a learnt behaviour, how do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, kids, just like learning to walk or talk, you need to learn all the different steps. And they need to learn to bite a food, chew it, swallow it safely in their mouth. And some fussy eaters will get stuck on soft foods because that's what they feel safe on. And maybe they had a couple of near choking incidents on some tougher foods. They need to learn to sit at a table even. So some kids find even that really challenging.
Yeah.
And they need to understand different flavours and different feelings in their mouth. So if they find any of those things fussy, then often they start to avoid foods and anything to do with foods. And then they really, if you ask a really fussy eater a really basic question about a food, is it sweet or savoury? They often can't answer that question because they've sort of blocked it out and stopped learning about food.
Yeah. We've got a six-year-old grandson. Love him to death, Jack. But at the table, he's up and about all the time. He'll come over and grab some food and have a quick conversation, and then he's back on either the PlayStation or watching television or playing with the dog. And you think, wait a minute, he's got to be sitting at the table just from a digestive point of view to let the food go down okay.
Absolutely, a digestive and a safety point of view. I mean, it's quite a complex task to chew a food. And when we're chewing, our airway is open and we're at risk of choking. And it only closes quite briefly just at the right time as we swallow. So even as adults, we would notice that we often, something goes down the wrong way more often when we're out to dinner with friends and distracted and laughing or talking while we're eating or even just looking to the side to someone. So it is a task that is much better if you're in a good supported seating position.
It's 13 minutes past one. We're talking to Emily Hayes, who's a speech pathologist specialising in supporting fussy eaters. And Emily, you talk from personal experience here. You've got four kids and two of them had food allergies, right?
Yes, that's right. So, we've got quite the sort of food stuff to deal with. So we've got one with celiac disease, so he can't eat gluten, and then two others with allergies to eggs, nuts and seeds, and one who's particularly responsive. So she's very allergic, and we've had two or three sort of instances where we've really nearly lost her. So
Emily, that must make shopping for food and preparing food and serving it nearly a nightmare. I suppose you're used to it after all of these years.
You certainly get used to it, but it does make you a lot more conscious of what other people put in foods. So we make a lot of foods more from scratch probably than most families, and I'm very aware of all the extra additives and things thickeners and things that people put in food, simply because I have to read every label of any food I buy.
Okay, yeah. Sandy wants to know, she said, are there any statistics or research available? How many kids would fall into the category, as you say, of fussy eaters?
The research suggests about 5% of children are extremely picky eaters. So when we talk about extremely picky eaters, they're the sort of kids that may very well end up in hospital with a nasogastric tube.
Really?
If they weren't being managed. Yeah.
Do you run programs for families or grandparents who think they may have kids in the families that are fussy eaters and they seemingly can't get them out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my clinic, I work one-on-one with children, and often they have an added complexity. So they might have autism spectrum disorder or a cleft palate or something like that. And on the Wholesome Mealtimes website, I also have an e-course, an audio course that people can buy that just gives them some general information about how to help a fussy eater and support them to be able to manage a bigger variety of foods.
Righto, Emily, how can somebody get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch is www.wholesomemealtime.com.au.
So www.wholesomemealtime.com.au.
That's right.
All right. Emily, congratulations on the work you do, and thanks for the time this afternoon. It was good stuff.
Thanks for having me.